key economic releases affecting fixed income yields. Insights into sectors influencing fixed income securities. How AAM plans to capitalize on these themes for your fixed income portfolio. The Portfolio Fix is a podcast series featuring members of AAM's investment and portfolio management team. We will discuss the timely issues affecting the fixed income investments of our insurance clients.
Welcome to another episode of the Portfolio Fix, a podcast series from AAM. My name is Patrick McGeever, and I'm a member of AAM's investment team. Today, as usual, I'll be speaking with Marco Bravo, who will provide AAM's latest views of the economy. And then I'll be joined by Dan Burns to discuss some of the moves we're making in our clients' portfolios. So welcome, Marco.
Thanks, Pat. Great to be here.
Good. It's great to have you, as usual. Chairman Powell and the Fed announced their third consecutive 75 basis point hike. They've now raised rates by 300 basis points in 6 months. Clearly, they're singularly focused on getting inflation under control. So let's tackle that topic first. What are we thinking about CPI? The last reading we received was just over 8% year over year. What is AAM's expectation for inflation in 2023, and what are the reasons behind that call?
Sure. So if we look out, let's say 4 quarters from now, the consensus is projecting the year-over-year change in CPI to average 3.9% in the second quarter of 2023. And that would be a decline of 4.4 percentage points from the current 8.3% level. So at AAM, we see the risks around inflation as skewed to the upside. And the reasons for our view include a labor market that remains tight, that we think will continue to put pressure on wages. Shelter-related prices, specifically rents, continue to rise. And there continues to be supply chain disruption. So all of these risks lead us to believe that inflation will remain or come in above the consensus estimate.
Okay. So that's got some pretty big implications. What does that mean for Fed funds rate, and where are we headed to from where we're at right now then?
Well, Pat, like you said, the Fed raised rates this week by 75 basis points. So it currently sits at a range of 3 to 3.25%. At AAM, we're looking for another 100 to 125 basis points increase in the federal funds rate. And when compared to the futures market, our call is currently about 50 basis points less than what's being priced in today by the market.
So obviously the Fed's actions are intended to slow growth and curb demand. Consensus expects 2023 GDP from 4Q to 4Q to be a modest 1.1%. Does AAM think the risks to that growth figure are to the upside or to the downside?
Well, given that the Fed appears committed to maintaining an aggressive tightening policy, and their objective is really to reduce demand and also weaken the labor market, we think that the consensus is too optimistic regarding GDP growth next year. Mm-hmm. So given that, we view the risk to GDP growth as skewed to the downside, with a fairly high likelihood that the U.S. enters a recession in 2023.
Okay. Well, I think I know the answer to this last question, but I have to ask it anyways. Given all that information about the CPI, about the Fed, about our expectations for growth, do we think now is a good time to be adding to risk assets or not?
Well, let me first say that we view the macroeconomic environment as unsupportive for risk assets at AAM. And we feel that not all the bad news has been fully priced in. So for example, our expectation is for slowing and negative GDP growth next year. And that's likely to lead to reduced earning estimates for US corporations. But we haven't really seen earnings estimates come down to any large degree. So as these estimates get revised lower, mm-hmm. we think that likely puts pressure on credit spreads and equity valuation. So we would argue, you know, for caution when adding to risk assets here.
Okay. Well, that's great information as usual, Marco, and that's probably all the time we have here, but thank you very much for all of that.
You bet.
Next up is Dan Burns, one of AAM's portfolio managers. So welcome, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
That's great to have you, especially given the dramatic move we've seen in rates and some of our evolving views on different fixed income classes. So it's great to have you. Before we get into those changes, maybe you can just briefly describe the process that portfolio managers go through with the different sector heads here at AAM when they're determining whether or not to make changes in sector allocations.
Sure. And really here at AAM, we have very much a team approach. And the idea generation for security selection and ultimately sector selection really comes from our research and trading team. And every week we have investment meetings. And this past week, we've had a few meetings. One, we got the portfolio managers together and sector teams and talked about our macroeconomic views. Following that, again, the portfolio managers and head of the sector teams came together to talk about thoughts about their individual sectors, work together. Ultimately, the heads of the sector groups discuss the risks and opportunities within their sectors, and there's really a dialogue back and forth between the sector teams and portfolio management teams. Portfolio managers also use that as an opportunity to talk about some of the challenges that we face in implementing certain ideas in portfolios. We can maybe talk a little bit more about this later, Pat, but one of the challenges we face today is most of our portfolios, given the dramatic rise in interest rates, have pretty significant unrealized losses embedded in them. And so we don't want to generate significant realized losses for our client portfolio. So that's something we try to be thoughtful about as we implement the best ideas coming from the research and trading team.
Okay. So you laid out the process there. Like you said, we just had a series of meetings, and you just heard Marco talk on the econ portion of the podcast that we don't think it's a great time to be increasing exposure to risk assets. So maybe you can tell the audience what were the key takeaways from this most recent series of weekly and monthly meetings that we just had.
Sure. Given our economic view that Marco covered, our expectation, particularly in the corporate bond market, is that we expect credit spreads to widen. And so while we aren't going to avoid the corporate market completely, we want to be really thoughtful about our exposures there. Earlier this year in the summer, when there was a little bit of strength in the market, we took that opportunity to take some riskier positions out of the portfolios and hopefully limit volatility into the future. Away from corporate bonds, we're focusing on higher quality sectors, taxable municipal securities, primarily AA and AAA rated, in agency mortgage-backed pass-through securities, which is really a sector that has been out of favor at AAM for a number of years.
Okay, that's good to know. Obviously, each of our clients has unique investment objectives. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach, certainly. So talked about unrealized losses. Maybe you can touch on that a little bit more.
Sure. A lot of our clients, first of all, within their investment policy, will have limits on realized losses in the portfolio and investment income and minimized losses are an important part of supporting their liabilities in any given year. And so in a year where we've seen several hundred basis point of rate increase, positions might be at 10, 15, 20 point unrealized losses. That really makes it difficult and not feasible to sell in client portfolios. So that limits some of the ability to take advantage of some of our themes in the market. Mm-hmm. We're now reliant more on whether it be cash flow from operations or our portfolios have a laddered maturity profile. So there's always cash coming off the portfolio to be reinvested. And we can use those cash flows to help us implement our current ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got some stats for you because I thought you were gonna. Okay. I thought you were gonna talk about unrealized losses. So, as of today, there's $2.2 trillion of investment grade corporates trading below $85. There's $400 billion of IG corporates trading below 70, and there's $10 billion trading below 60. So these unrealized losses are very significant, and they cut across ratings and industries. Half of the 2.2 trillion that I talked about trading below 85, they're single A rated or higher. So it's a challenge for the portfolio managers, and it's certainly a challenge for us to find new bonds that we can invest in that don't have unrealized losses.
Sure, and maybe Pat, one other thing to add to that, and those are great statistics, is like most investors, we do take a long-term view. And so we have built portfolios that are really well aligned with our clients' liabilities and typical cash flow needs. So an important aspect of these unrealized losses is it will be rare that we need to sell securities in the portfolio in a substantial way to support cash flow needs from the liabilities. So having an asset portfolio that's appropriate for the liability profile of each of our clients is really important in this discussion of unrealized losses and trying to limit loss realization in this environment. The other part of this that's really important goes to the work that our research and trading teams do day in and day out. And that's the fact that we own securities that we feel really comfortable are ultimately going to pay principal and interest in a timely basis. So if we don't have to sell to fund operational needs or cash flow needs for our clients, we feel really comfortable that we can hold these securities through the cycle and they'll ultimately mature and pay off. And those what are currently unrealized losses won't have to be realized in the future.
That's great. Thanks for the hat tip there. I appreciate it. So talk to me about how you manage cash needs for our clients, given these loss constraints.
Sure. And some of that goes back to portfolio construction, like I was talking about before. Which is really kind of an ongoing process to understand our clients' liability streams and typical cash flow needs. In a year like this year, what I've been talking about with a lot of our clients is this isn't necessarily a bad year to hold back a little extra cash out of the portfolio. One, doing so if there's an unexpected event, particularly our clients who have CAT exposure, if there's an unexpected event, you have cash there and ready, and it doesn't force significant sales in the portfolio. In years past, when the Fed had been holding short-term interest rates at effectively zero, there was a pretty significant opportunity cost to holding that cash because you were earning nothing on it. Today, as money market rates have risen, at least while you're holding that cash and maintaining that liquidity, you can earn something on the cash in your money market. For some clients who have a view that they might need cash 6 or 9 months down the road, we've built very short-term laddered portfolios to earn even more than their money market, with really defined maturity dates. We're not going to take cash flow risk or credit risk, really, with those types of what I would call cash surrogate type investments in portfolios. But having discussions with your clients and our clients and understanding those cash flow needs, always important. I think this year is almost critical given the unrealized loss position in portfolios.
Okay. That's really helpful, Dan. And just to wrap up here, given our economic outlook and the discussions you've had with the sector heads, if there's an opportunity to reduce corporates, you're taking advantage of that. And if you see opportunities in taxable munis and mortgages, you're adding to that. Is that correct?
That's correct. The one comment I'd make around mortgages, kind of traditionally about our exposure, Pat, is that's a sector we have been consistently underweight for the last several years. It's also a sector, if you look prior to this year, four of the prior 6 years had underperformed treasuries. In this year, that sector generated negative 257 basis points of excess return relative to U.S. treasuries. That underweight has really benefited the performance of our portfolios, but this is one of the worst performance environments our team has seen in the agency mortgage-backed security sector. And so we're using this opportunity to close our underweight to some extent. We're not going to get all the way to market weight in that sector, but it looks as attractive today as it has in a long time.
Okay. That's really helpful. I think our clients and listeners are going to find this information useful, Dan. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thanks for having me on, Pat.
Yeah. Of course, we want to thank you, the listener, for taking the time to listen to our podcast. If you have any questions, please reach out to your portfolio manager or our marketing team at aamcompany.com. During our next podcast, I'll be joined by Marco and a member of our investment team to discuss a timely issue affecting the fixed income markets. Thank you.